Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. And welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. And again, I am your host, Lauren Chalantani. And today you're listening to episode number 47, Human Connection and How to Change Your Life with M. Keen. Now, more on M's story when we get into the actual interview, but I wanted to start off with talking about, you know, the state of the world today. I'm recording this intro in the middle of this coronavirus outbreak. And for me, you know, switching up my own routines really gets me off kilter. And I had to sit myself down and realize, okay, what can I do in certain areas of my life, including work, that I can set these intentions, easy, manageable, little tasks every day that I need to get done, to keep me focused, to keep me grounded, to keep me present, and keeping me feel like my best self. So I wanted to include a little freebie for everybody that, you know, it feels a little unsettled during this time. Maybe you're working from home for the first time or working from home and trying to take care of your kids. So I made a short little PDF download where I separate into categories, and it's super simple, but, you know, separate into different categories of your life so you can sit down each morning or even each evening, and in less than 3 minutes, you can organize your day to keep yourself focused, grounded, and really in your power. And they don't have to be big things. Like, my list today is drink at least 60 ounces of water, or wash my sheets, or simple things like meditate. So I wanted to include this as a little gift for everybody to keep you centered, and the link will be in the show notes. But if you head over to laurenchalantani.com/intention, the gift will be there for you today. So back to our show with the lovely M. Keen. We talk about M's backstory, how she went from being a weightlifter, a bodybuilder, to a yoga teacher for over 6.5 years, the power of community and human connection, her ripple effect idea, how love can spread quickly as a virus. I think this is very poignant right now. Where to start when you know something needs to change, taking inventory of your life, and how the universe gets your attention in unlikely ways, and morning rituals for myself, but also how M has her daily 5-fecta, which helped inspire this worksheet or fun sheet idea. So thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoy this episode today. I think it is very timely. The topics we talk about personally, about, you know, really taking a look internally and externally and realizing that something needs to change, and what to do and how to do that. And despite any fear that might be going on around you in the world. So please enjoy episode number 47 with M. Keen. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren, again, and today we get to talk with M. Keen, and we're talking everything, mindfulness, yoga, connecting to your heart. We're just going to see where this conversation goes today. But M is a yoga and meditation teacher based in Cleveland, Ohio, and she's been teaching for over 6.5 years, and she has two phrases that she lives by, and that are the filter for all of her thoughts and all of her choices and her partnerships that go through this. And they are intention and human connection can change the world, and community is our native state. which I love. And this is how I met Em, is she hosted this beautiful Soul Rising Flow concert and yoga class. And I discovered this beautiful Cleveland yoga community up there. And I was like, I need to have this lady on the show. She's awesome. So with that, welcome to the show, Em.
Thank you so much for having me. What a beautiful introduction.
For a beautiful person.
Thank you.
So I love hearing, I always start every show, but I love hearing how yoga has attracted so many of us to this practice. And, you know, kind of your backstory into what drew you into yoga, what drew you into becoming a teacher, and kind of a guiding light for other people. Could you share us your backstory to how you got doing the work you do today?
I'd love to. So I found yoga accidentally. I was really into bodybuilding and weightlifting in college, and I was actually training to do one of those bodybuilding shows. And I was on this very regimented eating schedule and lifting schedule, and I just got really burnt out by it. And I ended up just wanting to take a break from lifting, but still wanted to move my body. And I heard that hot yoga was a cool thing to try. And as soon as I took my first class, I immediately knew that I needed more of this in my life. And the teacher that was leading class said this statement that turned my attention inward to myself for the first time. And the statement she said, I'll never forget, was, if you are in conflict with more than one person, it's time to turn inward. And I felt personally attacked by that statement because I realized I was in conflict with more than one person. And for the first time, I was shown this idea of personal accountability. And I realized that maybe I have more of a say and more of a part in the quality of my current life. And from that class on, I just really dove into studying more about yoga, learning more about mindfulness practices, because I wanted to see, is it possible to live a life where I'm not in conflict with the world around me? And after about a month of practicing, I decided that teaching yoga was my purpose. I just innately knew it. I didn't know what that looked like or what it would feel like, but I took the plunge and did my first 200-hour teacher training, and it changed my life. Yoga found me at a time when I was just incredibly unhappy. I didn't love the people I was spending time with. I didn't really love the activities I was participating in. And it's so interesting how I was a part of things that I disliked for so long. I almost didn't realize that I was unhappy. And yoga just turned my attention inward in this really powerful way where I just started changing everything in my life. I went through this 2-year period where I essentially had no friends and I was just starting from scratch. I removed a lot of the negativity and toxicity that was in my life, and I made the sacrifice to spend a significant amount of time alone while I was rebuilding. And I went through this process of just calling in more positivity, more positive people, more positive experiences. And yoga was the catalyst that started all of that. And it all began with that first class, that one statement that teacher said. And as I've gotten more into this lifestyle of teaching yoga, I realize the power behind the words that I share with my yoga classes. And I have the potential to offer that same insight to anyone that steps into my class. So I really take my role seriously, and I put a lot of time and effort into the words that I say, because I know they can have that same profound impact on someone else. And that yoga teacher probably doesn't even remember saying that statement, yet here we are 7 years later and it is still with me. And I love that in this job that I've created for myself, I can provide that for other people. I think it's so cool.
That is awesome. And I feel like you're really big about community and creating this space for people to meet and connect. And that's one of the things that stuck out so much about the event I attended, or the class I attended that you put on, was, you know, I remember you asking us to stare into a stranger's eyes and smile. And then we were in chair pose and you had to go up and lean against another person in chair pose and just you know, when you get into this yoga practice or this lifestyle, and many people in their own ways come to yoga in the sense of, you know, they're starting over and beginning again, and really, like you said, taking that look internally. And I felt the same way. I was, I've been in and out of yoga, and I was weightlifting and running. And then I went through a breakup, and I really had to begin again. And I really dove deep into yoga and went, same thing as like, I just was alone a lot, but I was really appreciating and becoming aware of, you know, not only what I put into my body food wise, but what I put into my body thoughts and emotions and the people I surround myself with. And you find really cool people through yoga, but a lot of us are like tiptoeing into this because it's like you're going, you know, starting this new path possibly, and you're like, are other people like me too? Like other people are into all this stuff? Like really? And yeah, but you have to put yourself out there in a different way. And I think I love like hanging out at the yoga studio before class or after class, like connecting with all these beautiful people. But you know, I search for that community aspect. And I think with social media, I think there can be a very great community aspect on there, but in person is so much different. It's just a deeper magical connection. Could you kind of chat to us about how you felt called to kind of create that community? And like, I mean, that's a big thing that you're all about.
Yeah, for sure. So like you said in the introduction, one of the filters I run everything I do through is this idea that intention and human connection can and will change the world. And it's just from my personal experience of realizing that the people I choose to associate with either elevates me or deflates me. And I got to a point where I was so deflated by the people I was surrounding myself with. And once I started to feel the effects of surrounding myself with positive people, and not just people that have a positive outlook, but people who were looking out for my best interest and cheering me on, that was something I never experienced from the people I was surrounding myself with. And once I realized how that made me feel, being surrounded by the right people, I wanted to create space for people to have a similar experience and connect with more of the right people. And I think yoga is just a really great tool to do that. And yeah, I just think that what I experienced personally through who I chose to associate with, and then notice the impacts of changing my own mindset. So that intention piece, those two things changed my life so drastically that I needed to find a way to put those two things together and share it with as many people as possible. And when I create these yoga experiences, I just want to give people that space to feel connected with really good people. And I think I mentioned this in the experience you came to in October with Soul Rising. We get so busy and we're hurrying through all these moments of our life. And we look at these people around us as bodies in the way of our busyness. And what we forget is that inside those bodies is a human spirit with stories and pains and joys that matter. And we need to remember the spirit that's inside these people around us and have the courage to look someone in the eyes, because we never really know what someone around us is going through. We're all carrying this really heavy weight, and it's all different from person to person. But sometimes just having someone look you in the eyes and give you a smile can totally change a bad day. So I want to put people in the safe incubator, the special sacred space where they can be seen and see other people for who they really are beneath the surface, this amazing, wonderful, worthy human spirit.
Wow. Yeah, 100%. Like that made me tear up a little bit. Like hearing that again, it's just, I've been thinking about this concept, tying into that of, you know, the pain that one person feels, you know, angry, hurt people hurt people is kind of a saying that kind of popped into my head. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, you know, we're the human collective. So it's in a weird way, this person's trying to share that pain with you. But you kind of flipped that idea on the other side of it. You know, look at this person for who they are and love them regardless. And, you know, the respect of seeing that soul. And there's a really, really good, it's a yogi quote. He says, see the soul, not the story. And yeah, and I think that's so transformational to approach life and approach every single human being that way is, you know, we might not all come from the same background or have the same thoughts on certain issues, but there's a soul behind those eyes. And I hope that people have the respect and decency to treat me that way. But you know, I'm going to show up to life or a yoga class or try it out for a day or two and see how that goes. Mm-hmm. Because in my mind, I think we are the human collective. We're just this huge, big human organism. You know, if one person's hurting, that spreads. You know, like you said, surround yourself with people who lift you up and not bring you down how you feel. And I think there's a lot of inner work that has to be done, but it's definitely like surround yourself with like-minded people.
Yeah, for sure. And the inner work is such a huge piece. It's hard for someone to connect with other people it's hard for someone to connect with other people when they themselves have a lot of inner turmoil going on, or they're not in touch with themselves. And the more people that we can have looking inward at how they show up for the world around them, they are now going to feel more confident to reach out for the hand of a stranger and to look someone in the eyes. And that's what's so powerful about this mindfulness practice, is that it puts us in this position where we feel courageous enough to connect with the world around us, because we're in the work within ourselves, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah. It's kind of like if you want to change the world or heal the world, heal yourself or change yourself first.
Absolutely.
It's like,
and yes, I think that the thing that has become really powerful with the experiences that I host is that now there are, like the event you went to, there's about 115 people there. And I talked about the ripple effect and how that evening was the beginning, the center of a ripple. And now there was 115 people leaving that experience a little more self-aware and a little more connected to the world around them, which then just raises the collective vibration. And even though the event was in Cleveland, Ohio, I truly believe that that ripple spread far beyond even the state of Ohio, probably further than we even know, because now someone that was at that event may have gone to Whole Foods a week later, and that event is still on their mind. And they see a stranger, or, you know, maybe someone at the grocery store isn't treating them with kindness, and they choose to respond with kindness anyway. And someone 10 people back witnessed that kindness that that person chose to give. And now that person is maybe on a business trip in Florida, and they remember that person who did that kind thing at Whole Foods because they were inspired from a yoga event they went to. And now that person is spreading it, and it just ripples. And you're so right. Like, we are one big living organism, every single human being. And when one person rises up, raises their vibration, tries to do a little better, it helps the whole team average.
Yeah. And it just made me think of, you know, how disease can spread, or, you know, an actual disease or negativity. I actually think about this a lot, about how positivity or love or like higher states of being can spread too. Mm-hmm. And you can feel it at events like those, you know, whether it's something like that or going to a meditation retreat or yoga teacher training, and just, you can see the light. So like, it's just so positive for me to be like, oh my God, there's so many people here. Like, I've gone, this December, I was at a meditation retreat. I think there was like 1,100 people. And then earlier in the year, my partner and I went to one, and there was like almost 2,000 people, to have that many people, like-minded people together, first of all, it's powerful. It's palpable. You can feel it.
Yeah, I bet every cell was vibrating.
Oh, yeah, it's addicting in a good way.
Right.
But it's like so hopeful because you're like, wow, like you said, that ripple effect. All these people are coming from around the world. And that's why I love the internet for this reason, because people who listen to podcasts like this or even practice yoga or their meditations through YouTube or whatever, it's an opportunity to spread that ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think like it, just as disease can spread like wildfire, I think positivity and love and, you know, really stepping for me out of this like lack mindset and like a more 3D, like matter to matter, like life is hard and everything's happening to me, and to like, everything's happening for me. Like I'm thankful for where I am and what got me here. And stepping into kind of a more heart-centered consciousness. And that reminds me of a Mr. Rogers like quote or saying is taking a second to just think about all the people who loved you and breathed you into being. You know, all the people that you've interacted with up until this point. And that's like a very powerful practice to do. Mr. Rogers definitely knew where it was at.
He knew what was up for sure.
So
he was way ahead of his time.
Oh, for sure. So I think a lot of people, you know, that are drawn to yoga, these kind of podcasts, you know, we're all on different points of our journey. And sometimes it feels, you know, there's no one straight path to healing or happiness or whatever. We all have points in our life where everything hits the fan. Could you kind of walk us through maybe the first tips or maybe your own experience of how you get to a point in your life, or someone who might be listening who, you know, kind of looks in the mirror and is like, I need to change. Like, I don't like where I'm at internally or maybe even externally. You know, how do I start though? You know, where do I begin? It's just like really overwhelming.
That's such a good question. My mind is reeling of all the different ways I could take this answer. But I think it's important to remember that our growth is not linear. You know, I've been in this work for about 8 years, like this personal deep work, and there's always something new to learn, and there's always something that gets thrown my way that throws me off. You know, I still have really hard days and hard things that come at me, and luckily I use the tools of the practice, but sometimes it is hard to pull yourself out. And, you know, my rock bottom or my dark night of the soul was about 8 years ago, where I just had this epiphany, where I feel like God literally spoke to me, whether you believe in God or a universal consciousness, whatever you choose to name it. There was this one night I was living a really toxic lifestyle at this point, binge drinking, hanging around with really negative people, choosing to do really negative things with my time. And it got to the point where I was so unhappy that I didn't even want to live my life anymore. I remember praying to God that I would not wake up the next day. I couldn't live one more day of this life. And in the morning, the next day, I woke up with this incredible clarity that I'll never forget. It almost felt like God was speaking to me as clearly as I can hear your voice. And what I heard was the message that was downloaded on my heart was, you hate your life because you're making really bad choices, and you think everyone sucks because you're surrounding yourself with really bad people, and you need to make a change right now, today, or it's not going to end well for you. And it was such a clear moment where I knew that I needed to make a change. And I think sometimes we have these moments where we're taking a look around and we realize we could do better and live better. And sometimes the easiest first step is just taking inventory of where you're spending your time. Who are the people you're spending the most time with? Literally make a list of these things and rate each thing on a scale of 1 to 5, how it makes you feel. Amazing about yourself would be one end, horrible about yourself on the other end. And anything that's close to that horrible about yourself, it's time to get rid of. At that point, if you identify something as bringing you down and you continue to engage with it, you're now contributing to your suffering. And when you make the choice to start living a better life, you sacrifice a lot. You sacrifice what's familiar. You have to sacrifice people and things that you might be attached to. And you have to find this place within yourself that wants a better life bad enough that you're willing to make those sacrifices and you're willing to have some hard conversations with people and get rid of some of the things that you've been a part of. And I think an easy first step is just taking that inventory. What am I currently inviting in? How do these things make me feel? And from there, you'll know what you need to let go of. And sometimes it'll take time. Like you might identify a person or a friend that you've had around your whole life, maybe since second grade. And that's a really hard person to cut a tie with. But at the end of the day, how you feel about yourself and how you feel about your life needs to be a priority. And anything that's not supporting your best self has to go. And being on this path and this journey of trying to find your highest and best self constantly, it's a really courageous path because you have to be willing to let things go.
Oh yeah. Aparigraha, if we're talking, you know, yogi terms here, is like, I think of holding on to anything too tightly or squeezing something. Like, I forget the Looney Tunes character. It's this little girl who ends up killing all of her little animals because she's like squeezing them too hard. It sounds really morbid, but it's a Looney Tunes
character.
and that's the same thing with anything in your life, whether it's a person or even if you're holding on to, for me, a lot of the work has been internal memories, you know, he or she did this to me, you know, that's why I'm here, you know, just like any type of like a really visceral feeling of a memory. And it's like, even though you're not with that person or in that situation, every time you think about it, your body responds emotionally and your brain actually doesn't know that difference. It's responding the same way if you're thinking about it or if you're actually living it.
And right, like it's responding as if it's still currently happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I think of like what you were saying is like what you focus on grows, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. My favorite Buddhist teaching is nothing grows without food. Mm. And I have a friend who taught me this amazing mantra that helps with interrupting those negative thought loops that we get caught in. And it's this practice of mental pruning. And once you start dialing things inward and noticing those thought loops, noticing the patterns and habitual thoughts that arise over and over again, you can literally say out loud or in your mind when you notice one of those unproductive or unskillful thoughts come up to your mind, you can literally say, no, thank you. That doesn't support my vision. And it sounds so silly, but if you say that enough times over and over again, you start interrupting that thought enough, it's going to have to reroute and go a different direction. And I like this visualization of a river. And the river is really fast moving in one direction. The river is your thoughts. And when you do this mental pruning, this thought interruption, it's like placing one log on the river at a time. And at first, it seems like no progress is being made. Like the throw the log in and just goes to the bottom of the river. But if you throw in enough logs, eventually you're going to block that flow and the water's going to have no other choice but to reroute and go a different direction. So when we're trying to, you know, release those old stories or those things we're attached to, if you just keep interrupting it with no thank you, that doesn't support my vision, or just say no thank you, eventually enough logs will accumulate where that thought, that impulse will change. And it's so cool when you witness that impulse changing. Like, for example, I used to have this story about myself that I wasn't good enough. Like, I'm not good enough. People don't like me. I don't have anything of value to share. And that was a lot of my work was with confidence and self-work. And I recently taught or led a yoga retreat in September. And I have all my notebooks and books spread around on the floor. And it's the night before the retreat. And I'm a little overwhelmed and nervous because it's my first time leading something on my own of this magnitude. And I had this thought of, oh, can I do this? And the first thought that arose was, yes, you've got this. And in the past, that would not have been my first impulse. It was my first time truly witnessing the fruits of the work that I've been doing. I literally started crying when that thought arose, because the first thought that came into my mind when I would question myself was not something so positive, but it was such an affirmative, yes, you've definitely got this. I was just completely blown away by seeing the work manifest in such a powerful way.
Yeah, that's so beautiful to like be able to listen and to hear your intuition, right? And I know once you pay attention to it, it might be kind of a more quiet, timid voice.
Right.
But like you said, it was so clear and like visceral feeling. And there's such a different feeling in your body when you get a yes or a no. You know, is this based in love or is this based in fear or anxiety or whatever? Like your body will tell you loud and clear.
Right. And sometimes we like to ignore it because we don't like the answer of our intuition. Exactly. Like, are you sure? I don't know about this intuition. Let's go on to the next one.
Yeah, exactly. And I think with practices like yoga for me and meditation, like what you just described there, like the science-y, I love learning the science behind all this too, is called metacognition. So we're in that beautiful practice of like rerouting the thoughts of the flow of the river, is you're able to slow yourself down enough to catch those thoughts, right? And you don't realize how many times you say those things to yourself a day.
Right.
Until you start becoming more of an observer of your thoughts. And even the idea of like, you know, I am not my thoughts, right? It's kind of, it's a weird thing to think about, but if you're able to retrain your brain and what you focus on grows, or another saying I like to think about is the grass is greener where you water it.
Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, where you want to focus, it's going to grow. And the actual neuroscience behind it, when you choose to let go of those negative thoughts or beliefs or patterns, and they might still pop up and that's okay, and you just say no, thank you, and let it go and redirect yourself to something neutral or something else or something positive or that vision, you're actually building a different neural network in your brain. So you're telling your brain to say, okay, let's strengthen this network here, this positivity, this future self who I truly am.
Right.
And let's eventually prune away those other neural networks and those neurons and let them die off, because that's not who I want to be. That's not who I am. And I always like to relate this back to yoga. And for me, like having a drishti in yoga, having a point of focus, it's the same thing in life. If things are getting tough, if I'm anxious or whatever, I try to have that focus of who I really know I am, you know, internally, that internal drishti of like, everything else can be happening outside of me externally, but I know who I really am. This is a choice for me to emotionally get invested or not. And the only thing I control is how I'm going to react to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's powerful. And it's definitely a practice.
It is powerful. And that was like one of the most freeing, but also overwhelming realization, is that I am at the center of my experience. And I decide the quality of what's around me. And it's freeing because, okay, great, I'm in control. Awesome. But what that also means is I don't get to blame my shit on anyone else, right? Like I have to take full responsibility now for my actions. And I like how you mentioned that you are not your thoughts. Buddhism talks about this idea of being a curious but unattached observer of your thoughts. So you're curious enough to pay attention and notice, but you're unattached to them. So you might have some really toxic negative thoughts come up, and rather than grip onto that and get frustrated, you let it pass by and you get curious about it. Like, where is this coming from? How could I maybe change this thought? And I just love that idea of being this curious, unattached observer of your own mind and your own life, really.
Mm-hmm. It definitely helps you start that forward momentum towards creating that life that you want. And we've kind of been talking about this, but are there any other practices or things that you would do or talk to somebody about? Kind of, this is kind of like law of attraction, of like creating the life that you want by changing and creating your internal climate to support that external climate.
Yeah. So I had this realization when I was in a bathroom stall. I used to work in this office, and before I was able to make yoga my full-time job, I would take side jobs here and there. And I was working as a travel coordinator at a mortgage company. And I got to the office really early this one morning. I'm in the bathroom stall, and a piece of toilet paper dropped on the ground. And I was like, I don't want to pick that up. I don't want to touch the floor. So I just left it. And this was around 7:45 in the morning. I went back to that same stall around noon, and there was toilet paper all over the floor. And in that moment, I realized that I set the standard for every room I stand in. And by me leaving that toilet paper on the floor, gave everyone else permission to then leave toilet paper on the floor. So that one little square turned into 100 pieces of toilet paper on the ground. And I just try to keep that in the forefront of my mind, that I set the standard for every room I stand in. And it just holds me a little bit more accountable to how I choose to show up moment to moment, because I want to make the rooms I stand in better off because I was there. And it's so funny, the moments in life that can teach us big lessons. I would have never thought that a bathroom stall and toilet paper would teach me so much about myself. But that morning, that day has stuck with me forever. And I just keep that at the forefront as I'm continually trying to show up better and better each day. I just remember that I am in control of the environment around me, and whatever I choose to hold within myself either elevates the spaces I'm in or it doesn't. So I always think of that toilet paper incident. And I think that if I just continually work on myself and try to make the rooms that I stand in better, the impact will be beyond my comprehension. I'm not even sure if that answered your question, but.
No, but that's fine. Like, it was beautiful. I love that story and how like the universe or your God or however you want to call it, it really works in like mysterious ways. And it's like, I in my meditation practice, I always ask at the end, like, you know, if I connected today, like, show me a sign in a way that I least expect, you know, to encourage me to keep going, that kind of thing. And it's always the funniest things, and never nothing bathroom or toilet paper related, but you noticed and you had a really profound moment. So that's amazing. And that story actually kind of got me thinking about, you know, setting the stage for your day. And it's something that I need to do for myself every morning, is get that like ball rolling in the right direction. Because for me, waking up an hour too early and either working out or practicing yoga or meditation or a combination of the above to really get my mind and body focused and in alignment with who I know I really am, versus sleeping in and rushing around and getting ready and just the world just feels like heavy the rest of the day. I would love to hear your opinion, or if you have a morning practice, or how you feel about kind of setting the stage for your day internally and externally.
Yeah, that's a good question. I was recently going through a challenging season, and I was just feeling really heavy and just having kind of a hard, stormy mental season. And I think it's good to remind people that even if you work your hardest every single day to be this bright light in the world, that it's okay to have days, weeks, maybe even months or a whole season where you just feel heavy and it's hard to surpass the darkness. And when I was going through this season recently, I just kept asking, what do I need to do to feel better? What do I need to do to feel better? And I identified this fivefecta, and it's five things I need to do every day to support me being my best self. And it's not a perfect science. Some days I don't hit all five and I feel it. So it's five things I try to do every single day. One of them is yoga and or meditation every day. I don't put a strict parameter around this. Sometimes I can't do it first thing in the morning. Sometimes I can't do it right before bed. I just make sure that every day I make time for my mindfulness practice, just to get still, be quiet, and see what shows up. I like to imagine our mind as like a mason jar full of water and dirt. And if you stir the jar around with the dirt and water, you can't really tell where the water ends and the dirt begins. But if you let the jar get still, all the dirt will settle to the bottom and you can see what you're really working with. So it's important for me to have that space every day to get quiet and still, so I can see, who am I really in this moment? What am I working with? And it kind of directs where I need to put my efforts that day. So that's one of the fivefecta, yoga and meditation. Also, eating all of my meals at home makes me my best self. When I eat out or I go for fast food, I just don't feel like my bright best self. That's also not a perfect science, because sometimes I get lazy. And also drinking water. That's the third thing. I need to drink enough water, hydrate myself, and I feel better. I have herbs that I like to take every day, so that's on the list. And then working out. So either lifting weights, going for a run, or riding a bike. In Cleveland in the winter, it's kind of hard to get outside. So I have a gym membership and I try to do that every day, just move my body, even if it's just 30 minutes of jogging. So it's been really helpful for me to identify these five things, that when I hit each one, I have a really good day. And, you know, maybe for you, it's three things, or for someone else, maybe it's like seven things they need to do every day. But just identifying the habits that make me feel my best and really putting an effort into to do all those things has been really, really helpful for my mental health as well as physical.
For sure. And I thank you for sharing about the heaviness part, because I feel the same way, especially in Ohio in the winter.
Yeah.
This heaviness, and I'm really prone to that if I don't hit my own personal checklist of self-care. And, you know, I think someone who's a yoga teacher in like health and wellness or spirituality world, you know, you have to keep continually checking your ego, number one. But when you feel off, you start to question yourself and maybe even your capabilities or your worth of like, oh, great, like start from square one again. What, I don't know anything. And I think that's so valuable to hear and to say. I'm going to say too, is like, it's okay to have heavy periods of life. And I say heavy periods, I think heavy menstruation periods in my head, but
that's why I laughed.
And it's okay too, but you don't have to have heavy menstruation. If you balance your hormones, we have plenty of podcasts about that, but it's okay to feel that more, I think, stagnant energy, you know.
Absolutely.
And energy or emotion is just the etymology of it, is energy in motion. Mm-hmm. So checking in with yourself and what can I do to take one more step today to make myself feel better. And you mentioned that as like checking in how continually, how can I feel better? How can I support myself? But yeah, it's okay. And for me, I noticed that I have to be like, all right, I've slept for 7 to 8 hours at least last night. Okay, great. I'm getting up, because if I don't get myself right away in the morning, a lot of those thoughts or feelings before you even can think of the thoughts kind of slap you in the face. And I know it's the same. I've gone through bouts of anxiety too, where the second you wake up, you just get pushed down and your heart's racing and you feel like you're on the verge of panicking. Mm-hmm. And it's just like right away, you just have to get up and start doing what's going to help, because you just have to self-support yourself.
Right. I think that self-care is the best line of defense, especially for anyone who struggles with anxiety or depression or is more prone to those emotions. Depression is something that I've dealt with my whole life, and I think it's something that's always going to be there. I think it's a pivotal part of the work that I'm in. I think it is what helps me relate to a lot of people that take my classes, is that I can be a living example of, I struggle with depression really intensely, but I find a way to work through it, and you can overcome it. And self-care is just that really important line of defense. And self-care is not always easy, even though like on paper, it should be really easy to do the things that make us feel really good. But when you're not feeling awesome about yourself, it's hard to do those things. And that's where it becomes really important to have a very strong why. Like, why do you need to engage in self-care? For me, I need to take care of myself, because if I'm not, I have this little angry monster that lives inside me. And if I don't nurture my spirit, that angry monster gets bigger and takes up more space, and I'm more irritable, agitated. I read this quote once that said, it's really hard to feel bad about a mind and body that you're taking really great care of. So my strong why is that I want to be able to show up powerfully in the world. And I can't show up powerfully in the world if I have this angry beast inside me all the time. So I have to take that bifecta and take it really seriously, even on the days that I don't want to. And I think it's just really important to encourage people that, you know, self-care is not always easy. So if you're having a hard time with it, that's okay. Like, stick with it. And there's going to be days that are harder than others, and that's okay. It's not going to be this linear perfect path of like, okay, I'm in this amazing self-care routine, I'm good now. Like, okay, but you might have a really hard day like 3 months from now where it's going to be hard to show up for yourself. And I think sometimes we need to just take the pressure off of ourselves that it's supposed to be easy to take care of ourselves, because it's just not sometimes.
Yeah. And it's that presence of okay, how do I feel? Like, being honest with yourself. And whether it's like feeling more depressed, heavy, or even anger, because I think depression and anger for me really go hand in hand, with like upset with myself or hard on myself for not feeling a certain way I should be feeling, or should quote unquote be feeling. Right. And I like to think of, okay, well, maybe I can't get to like my 100% cheery, like happy-go-lucky unicorn and rainbow self today. That's okay. But like, what's the easiest, like, higher emotion that I can feel? Like, sometimes it's anger or frustration, or even like, you know, if I feel bored, I'm like, okay, great. That's better than feeling depressed and like, don't care about anything. Like, feeling bored means that like, I want to find something interesting. I want to change things up. And like, just asking yourself, how can I kind of like tiptoe my way up that emotional ladder? And you don't have to have this huge quantum jump, because sometimes you won't, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm. I like that visual of tiptoeing, because that's literally what it feels like sometimes. Sometimes it's just like one pinky toe of progress today. And it's like, okay, fine. I just got a pinky toe in today, and that's fine. Tomorrow, maybe I'll do a little better. So giving yourself grace often is so important.
And I think, you know, For me, it's like, okay, I got into this work because I honestly didn't like where I was at. I didn't like how I felt in my body. And it's not about the end result of, you know, getting to a certain point in career or a relationship or your health. It's about the person who you are becoming in that process. And I think a lot of people get upset because like, oh God, I haven't healed yet. I haven't met my soulmate yet, or I haven't done this yet. It's not about that end result. It's really about who you're becoming in this classroom called Earth, right?
Right.
And I have to remind myself that every day.
Right.
It's a journey.
It is a journey. I talk about this a lot in my yoga classes as I try to encourage people to slow down through the movements. And, you know, on the way there is holds so much, as much value, if not more, than the destination. Like, who have you become on the way to point B? And point B isn't even the end. Now you have point C to go to, and it just goes on and on. And yeah, it's just we get so caught up in where we want to be. Like, I want to be there and I'm here. But focusing more on present moment awareness and just moment to moment, how can you do a little better each day? And your path will go in a way that you couldn't have even imagined for yourself. We get these blinders on sometimes where we're so attached to something that we should have, that we don't, that we miss the things on the sidelines that are really quietly waving like, hey, but over here, look over here, there's something better over here. But when the blinders are on, you miss it. And it just delays or puts a barrier between you and your ability to experience joy when you attach those things, right? Like, I should be married by now. I should have this job by now. Well, maybe you're not ready for those things and something better needs to happen first before those things can be called in. So I think just the journey itself is where all the nectar is, not the end destination that you think you need to be happy. Because the truth is, if you were to get that thing right now today, tomorrow you would find something else to worry about, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's the point of it. It's enjoying the process along the way. And I think of it being a journey, but also an initiation into becoming the master of my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, honoring that. I mean, that's never going to be an end goal, because I don't think if we mastered our life, we wouldn't be in this body in this this reality, we'd be somewhere else
right
than here. But it's, for me, you know, you get so caught up in your own personal life and wants and needs and desires, which is great, but we're just here to really return back to who we are, to the sense of like, we all are just part of source, part of God, part of love. That's who we are. And just coming back home is the best way I can describe it.
I love that. And then when you are someone who comes back to yourself, you're a guiding light for someone else who needs to do the same thing. And I think sometimes we curse our struggles. Like for me, depression, like I could get really hung up on like, why is this something that I struggle with? But in reality, me being able to work through my challenges and my struggles, I can look someone in the eyes who's dealing with the same thing and be someone that can say, oh, you're dealing with that? Me too. This is how I overcame it. It's like Ram Dass says, we're all walking each other home. That's the whole purpose here, is embrace whatever your challenge is, work diligently to conquer it, so you can help someone else with the same. Because sometimes we just need proof that, okay, that person overcame it. Maybe I can too. And I love this idea that we're just guiding lights for each other. And it takes the pressure off that it's okay if you have struggles and challenges. It's there for a purpose. It landed in your spirit for a reason. And you don't have to avoid it or look away from it and shame yourself for having it. Like, use it as a tool to connect with other people. And that's when the world will start to change collectively. Together we get a little bit better.
So beautiful. I couldn't say that any better. And a beautiful way to tie that into your intention of community and that presence and Honestly, a beautiful way to wrap up this episode. I would love to keep talking, but I think that is a beautiful way to tie a ribbon, a big bow on top. Yeah, and I just wanted to ask if there's anything else you wanted to kind of circle back to our wrap up before we are done talking today.
I think that's it. I would love to tell everyone about this experience in May that I'm doing in Cleveland if I can.
Oh, yes, of course. I was hoping you would talk about this.
Great. So on Friday, May 15th, collaborating with DJ Taz Rashid. He's an amazing musician. He plays beautiful electronic soundscapes that are catered toward yoga and meditation classes. And we're doing a sound journey for inner awakening on Friday, May 15th. It's from 7 to 9:30 p.m. And it's one of those sound off yoga experiences where everyone will have headphones in or on. And I'll be leading a class with DJ Taz, playing live music to the yoga class, just intuitively following the energetic arc of class, which is so cool. The music becomes this living, breathing experience. And after the yoga class, DJ Taz will actually lead us all through a sound healing journey on these headphones. It's going to be a really amazing experience. So if you're going to be around or you're near Cleveland or you want to take a road trip, would love to meet you and see you there. Saying to the listeners, like, I'd love to meet you guys. Obviously, I've met you, Lauren.
Oh, yeah, and I'm there. I'm totally there.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for that. If you're new to yoga or it's intimidating, I just like to tell people, if you just come open to connect with new people and come open to be challenged both physically and mentally, you're going to have an incredible experience and witness your life open up to new possibility just from connecting with other people.
Mm-hmm. I cannot wait for that experience. It's going to be a beautiful experience. I drive up over 2 hours to go to these events. They're completely worth it. especially that sound healing at the end. That's going to be amazing.
I'm really excited. He's bringing sounds from all over the world into this experience. So I can't wait. See how it unfolds.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you, Em, so much for coming on and talking with me today. I think this episode is going to be great in helping a lot of people. And just if you're anywhere on your journey and being okay where you're at right now, because you are perfectly imperfect and just as you are.
Exactly. You don't have to do more to be more.
Mm, that's so beautiful. And I always end the show thanking you for all your time and your presence and sharing your wisdom and your experiences with us. I know it's very impactful for all of us to hear other people's journeys as well. And I always like to ask our guest to challenge our listeners, you know, how can they and myself be of service for you today in thanking you and an appreciation for you showing up for us today?
So what I'd like to challenge everyone to do is to partake in what I call the booger policy. Now stay with me. The booger policy is, if you see something, say something. So if you saw someone with a booger hanging out of their nose, you'd probably tell them, right? Like, hopefully. And what I challenge you to do is, if you see something wonderful in another person, I want you to go up to them and tell them. So it could be as simple as, you really like someone's shoes and you say, hey, awesome shoes. Or maybe someone's smile or kindness made your day. But if you see something wonderful in another person, have the courage to go up and tell them. And you have no idea how that simple act of kindness might completely change their day.
Oh, yeah. Talk about rippling out there, rippling out the kindness. That's beautiful. Thank you again so much for coming on the show. I really look forward to your next event. And we'll link all of that in the show notes for people to get their tickets to come visit you.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you so much.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.